You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where the things we talk about rear their ugly heads week after week. I'm your host, Justin M. Lesneski, and I have definitive proof of that statement I just made. For those of you who watch Community, we may have seen them walk down the same path as How I Met Your Mother, the finale that we talked about last week. What I'm referring to specifically, and this is a spoiler if you haven't started watching their two-part season finale.
There's walkers in the barn and Lori's pregnant.
What happened between Britta and Jeff? So the whole episode was basically about how there was no story because they were content, which carries with it the underlying assumption that there must be something wrong. You know, you can't just be pursuing something for it to be a story. There has to be something wrong you're trying to fix, which is the Jack Shepherd theory. So it's sort of not a surprise they went down the same path as How I Met Your Mother and Lost. Within this episode, Jeff proposed marriage to Britta, but it was the way he did it that was the problem. He said, well, all that matters is other people, so didn't we get it right in the beginning of the show? He didn't say show, obviously, only the Neighbors results to that sort of meta humor. Didn't we get it right in the beginning when we wanted to be together? So let's get married, because all that matters is other people. So now Jeff and Britta, in the second part, may get married, or decide to get married. She may accept his proposal. Although I do hold out hope that Dan Harmon, in all his meta commentary, is just using this as a meta commentary on the typical sitcom by going back to that. Because they seem to have dropped the Jeff and Britta thing since season one and not gone back to it. Although in many ways this season of Community has gone back to season one. So it's not a surprise that a show called Community would say that all that matters is other people. It's just disappointing to see them ultimately go that way. And I'm hoping in the second part this coming week that they go away from that. It just is a little bit of proof that what we talk about in the midside has continued relevance. Joining me today, as always, is Daniel T. Richards from Austin, Texas via Skype. Daniel, how are you?
I'm all right. Did you have a little bit of drink before the show today, Justin?
A little bit of drink. It's making me so like, hey, really, pronounce things.
Tipping the elbow just a little bit.
Yeah.
Before the show.
Yeah.
Must be all that cookie dough.
Yeah. If anyone is following me on Twitter, I was eating cookie dough directly before the show. It was not cookie dough spiked with anything. But actually, the real reason I'm having trouble is I was trying to really remind myself to say your name Daniel because I don't do that. But the Shut Up Kids podcast, which is also on the Talkbacker network, has a Dan. And people are starting to get confused at that. So I said, okay, well, I'll just refer to him as Daniel, which will make him happy. So I was just trying to remind myself of that, which made me slur all the other words.
Good, I think.
Also joining us again this week, after a brief hiatus to travel through space and time, the Doctor.
I'm back, bitches!
Apparently the Doctor has gone through a major transformation.
Welcome back, Doctor. We all missed you.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if I miss the Doctor, if she's going to act like that, but we'll see how it works for this podcast. Well, while one show we love looks like it's shooting itself in the foot, one show that's not very loved looks like it may have turned the corner. Find out what I'm talking about next in the news.
Well, it may be a show that is turning the corner, just not for me. As I read this news story, I have no idea what's going on. But according to our good friends at Talkbacker, someone named Kobe Smulders is going to guest star on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Kobe Smulders apparently guest starred in the premiere episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I did not watch. And she'll be reprising her role as Agent Maria Hill from the Captain America films.
Yeah, I love how you say this like you didn't see the Avengers.
Yeah, but I completely forgot she was in it.
Well, and that's the point, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the comment that I thought was really good on here was by Boppin' Rumble, which, I mean, bop seems like part of a rumble, so I don't know why you need to bop and rumble.
The great bop and rumble.
It is a good, I do like the way it sounds though, bop and rumble, bop and rumble. He said, so is Colby Smulders the new Megan Fox, i.e. an actress most people just dislike?
I think it's just funny. Like, I don't watch The Avengers to see Agent Maria Hill.
I mean, they can't pay like $5 million to get Tony Stark slash Robert Downey Jr. on the TV show, you know?
I think her name says it all, just not that memorable.
Well, and that's the thing, really. I mean, Dan doesn't even know who she is, and this guy's asking if we hate her. I just think it's that people don't know who she is, and then the people who do know who she is, there seems to be this Hollywood obsession with her. I mean, Dan, you know what her other famous role is, right?
Isn't it in what we were just talking about?
Right, she's Robin on How I Met Your Mother. So yeah. For some reason, people in Hollywood are really obsessed with her.
Oh, it must be her dashing good looks.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Her vanilla bland looks?
Yeah, exactly. Look, I don't want to, like, talk shit, but I'm going to talk shit right now. So the doctor and I actually once saw Robin slash Colby Smothers slash Maria Hill slash Wonder Woman in the Lego Movie in Las Vegas. And the only reason we saw her is because of who she was with. And what I mean by that is the only reason we saw her is because of a nose. So, you're familiar with Garfunkel and Oates, right, Dan?
What?
Do you know Scrubs, the Gooch from Scrubs?
Oh, okay.
Right, she's also in the band Garfunkel and Oates. She played Raj's girlfriend on The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she has a very distinctive nose. So we're walking down the strip, and we're about to enter into a casino, and I look ahead of me and I go, that girl's nose really looks like Gooch's nose, because I still call her Gooch from Scrubs, because that's what I'll always remember her from. And then I look at her and I go, and that sweater is very Gooch-like. And then we walk forward and I go, oh, wait, that is her. And it was just kind of like, that's random, but I guess, you know, we're so close to Los Angeles that we were in Vegas that it makes sense you'd see people there. And then we kept walking, and, like, they were walking in the same direction as us. And then it dawned on me, like, 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, wait, that's also Robin from How I Met Your Mother. The point I'm making is, without all her makeup and the Hollywood effects, I didn't even recognize her.
She's very plain, her acting was so memorable that I didn't remember she was in The Avengers.
Which makes her the best agent ever, because she just blends in and disappears.
She would make a good real-life agent, but I don't want to see whoever this is on screen for any period of time. It doesn't matter. Look, it doesn't matter. I'm never going to watch this TV show. I don't care about it.
Okay, and I'm going to spoil some Captain America stuff here, too, for people who haven't seen it.
There's walkers in the barn and Lori's pregnant.
The thing that's crazy is apparently she's going to run S.H.I.E.L.D. from now on. So I don't know why you would go from Sam Jackson running S.H.I.E.L.D. to her, but I mean, it's all really a front anyway, because Sam Jackson's actually alive and going to be running S.H.I.E.L.D. from like Europe or something. I don't know. It's all convoluted now. The interesting thing to me about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the reason it's turned the corner is they actually are actively involved in the Marvel Universe now, with the whole Captain America thing. Hydra infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D., so S.H.I.E.L.D.'s basically done. So they had all that spill over into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and they had agents be part of Hydra, and the plot just really got ramped up. So now, you know, the show was always marketed as it's going to be part of the broader Marvel Universe, and now it feels like it. And this is the first time we've ever had this sort of crossover, right, where there's been TV shows and movies that work together in the same universe.
Great. I just wish it wasn't so boring.
What was the hashtag? Hail Hydra?
Yeah, well, Hail Hydra,
oh,
yeah.
Hail.
And what is his name? Brett Dalton, the actor, actually. I really like his Twitter feed now. He's really – I appreciate that he really is into his work. Like, he changed his Twitter avatar to the Hydra logo, and he's tweeting all about Hail Hydra stuff, and he's taunting the other cast members saying he's pro-Hydra now. So I enjoy the fact that he's getting into it and he's enjoying it, and he's not using Twitter to be like – an obnoxious Hollywood douche. He's just using it to enjoy his work. So,
well, that's different.
Right. It's very different. And I just appreciate the fact that the show is starting to become more fun, and it's doing different things that have never been done before.
Well, there's more important news than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Justin.
Is there?
Yes, there is.
But
is
I learned that Colby Smulders is the most important woman, and even at the end of all of it, you're still going to be in love with her and give her the blue French horn.
What's a blue French horn?
Exactly. There is racial terrorism going on in England at Warwick University, where a swan is attacking minority students.
Is this, by swan, do you mean a woman who went through plastic surgery?
No, I mean a swan, like a literal white swan, eight-foot wingspan.
You don't mean Natalie Portman?
No. In fact, the headline of the article is White Wing Supremacist.
So is this Barry Kripke reads the news right now?
Yes, exactly. A 4-foot-tall bird with an 8-foot wingspan has been accused of behaving aggressively toward foreign students as they cross over a footbridge near its nesting place at Warwick University. 24-year-old Indian student said, "These swans are very annoying, and the students feel as though they're being bullied."
Did you say that with an accent?
A little bit. Just a little tiny hint of a fresh-off-the-boat accent. Indeed. So why are these... I mean, I understand a swan attacking people feet away from its nest. Makes sense to me. But why only dark people?
Yeah, well, everyone knows dark meat tastes better.
Hmm.
But is there scientific proof that the bird is only attacking dark people?
No, it's all anecdotal at the moment.
So that doesn't mean anything. I mean, that just means people with inferiority complexes, or maybe they have a history of suffering racism, so they're more sensitive to it. And if they do, you know, I'm not saying they have an inferiority complex. Those are two different things. I want to differentiate those. But maybe those people are just feeling that way, and they're attributing some sort of... intentionality on the swan's part.
I think there's some of that. Also, I think the swan, the swastika on its chest gives it away, though.
Did it reveal that it's actually part of Hydra?
Is Hydra of Nazis?
Basically. Do you not know Captain America?
Not really. It's my least favorite of the Marvel movies.
Hydra is the group that Red Skull led.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the Red Skull was made to symbolize, you know, Nazism and fascism and all of that kind of stuff. Socialism, communism, all that.
Right.
By Red Skull.
Okay, I'm bored. Back to something else.
Back to racist swans, because that's so much more interesting.
It was caught goose stepping.
Thank you for having that one chambered. That was a good one to have chambered. I should have wrote that down. That's very good.
What, you're really going to talk about chambers when we're talking about Nazi swans?
Oh, God. All right. I've had enough of both of you. You, Justin, are in the 39%. Did you know that?
Yeah, because I know you're... That's how I got this podcast.
No, you didn't. Because your name ends with the letter N. You are part of one of the most bizarre naming trends in American history. The rise of popularity of boys' names that end in N has been unprecedented.
Is that why the show Captain N was on when I was young?
Probably not. And no, actually, I can't even get over that. That was such a terrible joke. Wow. Since 2011, 4 of the 10 most popular names for baby boys have ended in N. And it's only getting weirder. According to the New York Times, it's names that in the, quote, Aiden rhyming family, Peyton, Clayton, Dayton, Layton, Trayton, Jaden, Aiden, etc. And all the various spellings of those things that are causing this meteoric rise in the letter N at the end of our names.
So what you're saying is it's Peyton Manning's and Jaden Smith's fault.
Basically all their fault. I mean, if you go over to io9.com, they have a fascinating animation about the popularity of last name letters from 1900 to now. And it's interestingly, it starts off with N, and then D gets popular, and then Y gets popular. And then around 1970, N just explodes in popularity.
Okay, the doctor just pulled up this fascinating animation. And it's just bar graphs rising and falling. I love the fact that you don't want to talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you don't want to talk about Hydra, you don't want to talk about racist swans, but you want to talk about bars going up and down.
I love data visualization.
Do you just not listen to music, you mute it, and you just watch the levels go up and down on your mixer?
If it's rap, yeah, then it's definitely more interesting.
That was uncalled for.
Haven't you met anyone named Zayden, by the way?
No, but I would name a kid that if not for the end thing.
And how about Raiden?
Well, yeah, I've played Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, shoots a little lightning bolts on his.
You haven't met Raiden?
I've never met a Raiden in real life.
Oh, I wonder where this naming trend comes from. Do they have any idea, or do they just say that everyone is crazy or something?
Well, they just think that if like the name Jaden and Aiden became popular, but the problem is that there's no universal standard for how you spell that versus Robert or John, or although John ends in an N, like Robert or whatever, Daniel. Those have universal spelling. So what happens is that people just write down whatever spelling it is, and then you hear this over and over and over and over and over again. And it becomes part of the cultural subconscious.
Yeah, but that doesn't explain the N thing, because like the name Justin isn't in that tree, and it still ends with N. Is that just a coincidence?
Justin is a much older name.
So I'm not part of the 39%. I mean, I'm technically part of it, but I'm not part of this rhyming tree.
No, you're not part of the rhyming tree. That's correct. You're not part of this horribly hipster naming trend.
So Aiden comes from Irish culture, right? Where does Jaden come from?
Black culture.
Does it?
I don't know.
That's racist.
Just because Jaden Smith is named that doesn't mean all black people are named Jaden or all Jadens are black.
That's true. I've met many.
I don't know why I said all black people are named Jaden.
I don't either.
Jaden Vick playing for the New York Jets.
So this is bizarre. Stop naming your children with N's on their name. Interesting. Have you ever thought about what you would...
According to Wikipedia, Jaden was invented in the 1990s.
Really?
Wikipedia, who knows? Oh, no, this is Wiktionary, sorry.
Oh, well, completely useless. Get off that site right now. No, just... Have you ever thought about what you would name... children? I mean, I'm not saying that you two have to have children. Some people find that offensive when you say that to couples.
I want to name a kid Ender, but now that Ender's Game movie happened, I don't know if that's cool anymore.
Mm.
But I just think it's a unique name, and it carries with it stuff, so. Because I want to set my kid up for genocide.
The new Hitler.
No, I mean, I thought actually about Elliot as a boy's name, which I've liked, and that doesn't end in N.
Yeah, but you're going to name your kid after Elliot just because he was on the show once?
What? Who watches these shows?
No. He was on the podcast once.
Oh, on this show once. I thought you meant on the TV show once. Like...
Once upon a time.
Yeah.
No, nobody watches that anymore.
No one watches that.
Okay, thank God. Also, no one should watch the new documentary, The Principal, narrated by Star Trek Voyager's Kate Mulgrew, because it is a documentary that claims that the sun revolves around the earth.
Can I just applaud you on your transitions today?
I'm trying.
It's like I'm trying to hijack the show today, and then you're just keeping us more on point.
Moving it along. I'm a little train that could.
You're Officer Bar Brady.
Nothing to see here, kid.
Exactly. So I haven't watched Star Trek Voyager, but apparently Kate Mulgrew was tricked into doing this.
You mean just like she was tricked into being on Star Trek Voyager?
Yes.
She doesn't really have a history of the best career choices.
Or hair choices.
Right. She's a little... Right now she's sporting a mullet. Which is bizarre. Never seen a mullet on a woman.
Party, no business.
But,
somebody told her if she did the documentary, she would get coffee, so she did it.
Although I think one of the more fascinating comments is that someone said he totally believes that she's stupid enough to fall for this because she's also the only person to get lost in the Delta Quadrant in her first mission.
Oh, that's good. I wish I had come up with that one.
I haven't seen the episode. I think that's the theme today, which is I haven't seen any of this. I don't know what we're talking about.
You're cut from the podcast.
I'm the worst pop culture commentator that exists.
All right, Talkbacker, we're now holding open auditions for Daniel's spot. You can't have Dan's spot. He's on the Shut Up Kids podcast. But for Daniel's spot, we're having open auditions, so leave comments about why you should do the news on this podcast.
One show that I would watch in its entirety is the new reality show about AJ McCarron and his model girlfriend, Catherine Webb.
So you won't watch Star Trek Voyager, you won't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but you'll watch AJ McCarron's reality show?
Absolutely. It should be more the Catherine Webb reality show, also with this guy named AJ.
Right. No, they should name the show AJ McCarron Ensures That He's Still Going to Get Laid.
It's actually going to center around their wedding, which is set for July 11th, and they've already done a lot of filming for it, according to NFL.com. In fact, Catherine's sister, Lori Webb, says, from what I understand, the impetus for the show came from someone else. I don't think they were trying to get into a reality show. I just think they had the opportunity and decided to take it.
Do you remember how this all started, Dan? Yul?
Yeah, wasn't it some commentator who was like, yeah, I'd hit that?
Yeah, it was Brett Musburger. So, you know how cameramen are obsessed with just like in their breaks, they just find hot girls in the audience and ogle them? Well, they showed Catherine Webb, and then Brett Musburger was like, oh, that's AJ McCarron's girlfriend. She's like an Alabama beauty queen or something, which probably doesn't take much to be an Alabama beauty queen, right? But to me, she looks like generic Southern girl. But she got all hype for that. And then, like, immediately she got, like, 300,000 followers on Twitter just because she was on TV and AJ McCarron's girlfriend and a beauty queen. So if you want to know how to get Twitter followers quick, that is the formula. The national championship college quarterback and be a beauty queen and be on TV.
Well, she's the Alabama beauty queen because she still has all of her teeth.
She's not cooking meth with Walter right. White. Yeah, so that happened. And then she's sort of been, like, you know, in the national eye ever since. And now anytime someone's in the national eye, there's always some producer who's like, well, we can make a quick buck off of them, especially with reality shows.
She's been in the national Google image search queue. That's what she's been in.
That's what I meant by eye. I was short for Google image search. The eye and image. Yeah, and that's all it is. And I really believe AJ McCarron's only doing this for his girlfriend. I think she said, well, you're going to be a famous quarterback. How am I going to make money and be famous? Can you do this for me? And he was like, okay. Because this is not good for your career, right? If you're in the NFL, if you're a rookie.
Yes, but I mean, that's not what teams are really looking for. I mean, he's got no shot with the Patriots now. Let's be honest.
You rise on the NFL draft board when you get a reality show.
I just think it's interesting timing. You know, they're doing filming even before he's drafted, which is, I don't know. It seems, I guess the word pretentious comes to mind, but again, I think you're right that he's probably just doing it because his girlfriend took off her top and said, will you do this for me?
Well, right. And the timing has to do with they want to get married before he's in the NFL, right? So she's trying to hook him before he gets in the NFL. Just like, you know, these people try to get married in the South before someone's shipped off to Afghanistan or shipped off to another post, right?
Similar.
Don't underestimate the power of the boob tractor beam.
Exactly. I hope he's got a prenup. Because let's be serious. Is this going to work?
Well, I don't know. It's worked for plenty of quarterbacks beforehand.
Has it? What's the track record, you think, on quarterback marriage in the NFL?
I don't know. It's better than the track record for Gwyneth Paltrow, guy from Coldplay marriages.
That's awfully specific of you.
I was just thinking of Hollywood marriages in general and wanted to say one specifically.
Well, one great track record that's coming to an end is David Letterman on The Late Show. The legend, been doing it for years. Now he's gone, or will be. Hopefully, sooner rather than later.
Hasn't he been doing it for over 30 years?
He's been doing it for years.
Is it just not in the article? That's why you're doing
this? It's not in the article.
I'm pretty sure it's like 30 or 31 years. It's something like that.
I only look up one article per show.
The way you figure out how long Dave Letterman's been hosting the show is you measure his teeth gap, and it's like rings on a tree. The wider it is a number of years.
Oh, hey, I found it. Oh, no. It just says 3 decades.
Right, so 30 years.
Yeah, but is it exactly 30 years, or is it like 31 years? I don't care. I frankly don't care. Anyway.
Once again, we'll talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We'll talk about how long David Letterman's been hosting his show.
Hey, 30 years. So it was announced that David Letterman's going to retire from The Late Show, which was big news. And then around the same time, it was like, oh, Chelsea Handler just resigned from her show. Maybe she's taking over.
Isn't that just because she got drunk, though, and resigned by accident?
She hit the resign button by accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all know that late night shows just have a giant red resign button next to their desk.
For Chelsea Handler, yes.
And sometimes they just fall over onto it in a drunken stupor.
You just described Chelsea Handler's entire career.
Hey, that show is amusing sometimes when she has guests on who are funny.
Oh, yeah. It's good when they have, like, Joe Coy or Natasha Leggero, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or Natasha. Pet Midget.
Pedro? Pepe? Pepito? What's his name? Anyone? Bueller?
The only funny midget I know is Brad Williams.
He's hysterical, by the way. One of the funniest people ever.
Do you think his funny per body mass ratio is higher than anyone on the planet?
Yes, he's got he's also got a funnier forehead to funny ratio than anyone.
Really?
Existence, yeah.
You're talking about intentional humor, right? Because I think unintentionally, Peyton Manning has the best funny to forehead ratio.
Interesting. Anyway. So, there was a lot of speculation about who'd be taking over. Would it be a woman? Would they get a black host? Maybe Arsenio's gonna move on up, you know?
So this is the same speculation as when there's a new doctor on Doctor Who? Will
exactly.
it be a woman? Will it be a black person? And then they just go with a white male anyway, and everyone gets mad.
And they went with one of the uber whitest males on television right now, which is Stephen Colbert. So Stephen Colbert will be leaving his Comedy Central show, and he'll be leaving his personality of Stephen Colbert.
You mean Bill O'Reilly?
Right, the blackface Bill O'Reilly. And he'll be moving on.
Isn't it the foxface Bill O'Reilly?
Yes, there you go. I was just thinking about this whole concept of black nerd blackface, and I thought this basically applies to everything, and this is a non-concept, because what Stephen Colbert is doing is conservative blackface, right?
Right.
He's not a real conservative playing a conservative, so how dare he? Anyway, the whole thing is stupid. It used to just be called acting. Have we lost that?
Well, no. Anyway. I mean, it started with, you know, where they used to use blackface to make fun of black people, right?
Right. Now it's just acting.
Right. Well, I mean, you're pointing out that's what comedy is you pretend to be something else to make fun of it. But what you're saying is, because of that, it's impossible to ever make fun of something because you just say it's inauthentic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right, and then you're devolving it, but then you're going even further back with the root concept, and you're saying that, well, that's what acting is in general, is pretending to be something else. So if you're, the authenticity is what's most important, then acting is impossible. So what you're saying is everyone should watch AJ McCarron's reality show because that is the highest form of entertainment because it's authentic.
Yes, exactly. So one interesting thing that Adam Carolla pointed out on his podcast is that now Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, and Jon Stewart, who are basically all the three kings of late night television, will have the same.
Jimmy Fallon. Did you say Jimmy Fallon?
No,
Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, Jimmy Fallon. Come on.
Calm down. I have a point. I'm not making the definitive list of all great late night shows, but in terms of ratings, Jimmy Kimmel, The Late Show, which will be Stephen Colbert, and Jon Stewart on the
all started on Comedy Central.
No, let me. I can form a sentence, I promise, if you just shut up for 5 seconds.
I'm gonna let you finish, but first.
Okay, Kanye.
No, they all have the same agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, which is the first time this has ever happened.
So he's the equivalent of Drew Rosenhaus in entertainment?
Who?
He's the major superstar agent in the NFL that everyone knows.
There
who
you go.
Is.
Yeah, everyone. So, no, it's interesting. It's also Adam Carolla's agent. So he's raking
in. Oh, so he's pitching himself.
He's raking in Buco bucks, is what I'm saying.
By the way, I love how this show, our show, has just become an advertisement for the Adam Carolla podcast.
If we do nothing else.
No, I mean, that's not a surprise, especially since they all started on Comedy Central as well. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel started on Win Ben Stein's Money, and then they, Jon Stewart. Well, did Jon Stewart start on Comedy Central?
No, he was doing stuff before Comedy Central.
What? I didn't know who he was before. I know he was in, like, Big Daddy before he hosted The Daily Show.
Yeah, he was in movies. He was in a stand-up.
Okay.
He's also a writer, I think, like, on TV shows.
Oh. I mean, the best thing to come out of this is the Colbert Show can finally die the death it's deserved to die for a long time now. I've never found the Colbert thing funny. I mean, yeah, I get it. O'Reilly's a blowhard. He's a pompous jackass. He doesn't care about politics. He only cares about himself. But that was apparent to me all the way back in, like, 2003 when I watched the show, because everything was all about, like, hey, anytime anyone mentions me, I'm just going to put it on TV. And then Colbert turned that into, like, a decade-long gimmick. And I was like, isn't this old by now? But people apparently ate it up, like, the same joke over and over again. Then again, I mean, Will Ferrell is still popular, so.
Too much bloviating on the part of Stephen Colbert. Not pithy enough.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, now that we've told you a bunch of shows that you shouldn't watch, although we did tell you Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we're going to talk about The Week's article, 31 Shows You Should Be Watching in 2014, and this week's Weekly Disjustice. So I found this list that's on theweek.com. It's by this guy, Scott Maslow, who I now follow on Twitter because he actually does have some of the more interesting television commentary that's out there on the web. So check him out if you get a chance. And it's the 31 shows you should be watching in 2014. And he just did an update this week. So apparently this article started at the beginning of the year and he's since updated it. April 7th is when he updated it. My initial reaction was whenever I see the word should, I kind of step back a little bit because should is a very personal word. Should, it sounds like, you know, this is the right thing to do watching these shows. Instead, I think this should just be considered a list of shows that Scott Maslow thinks is good. So what I want to do right now is I just want to go through briefly and we'll say whether we agree or disagree and what the value of the show is.
All right. Make sense? Yeah, I'm gonna go backwards.
You're gonna go backwards?
Calling an audible. We're going backwards.
You're gonna start with the best show first then. Yeah. That's not cool.
The best show is number 31?
Yeah. I was gonna build.
That makes no sense whatsoever.
I was gonna build the whole time and be like, this is obviously the best show, but you just blew up my entire plan.
Fine. We'll go from the number one.
No, start from the bottom now. Everyone has the expectation. We're gonna start from the bottom. Are you okay with that?
We're gonna do what everybody wants.
No, we're gonna do what Daniel wants.
Exactly.
This is so, Daniel's design, not mine.
Yes, tweet your hate mail at me. Number 31, which I don't think would be the best show. You wouldn't put the best show last, but anyway, number 31.
Well, that's Scott Maslow's opinion. My opinion is it's the best show.
Well, scrolling down, it leads up to it.
So. Yeah.
But then that... Does anyone not know how lists work?
No, the internet doesn't know how lists work. The lists are just an excuse to get more clicks.
Anyway.
I'm just glad this article isn't pictures you clicked through.
Oh my god, we'd be here forever. Number 31. Hannibal.
Number 31 in this article, number one in our hearts.
Really?
And number one in Hannibal's stomach.
Is this really that great of a show?
Especially with the last episode. The episode that just aired.
There's walkers in the barn and Lori's pregnant.
The whole season one was about this character, Will Graham, trying to deal with the darkness. So Hannibal is basically trying to bring his darkness into the world and, like, put his design on people. That's why I said, you know, you've ruined my design. Because that's, you know, that's especially become a theme of season two. And season one was all about that, to the fact that Will Graham got trapped by the design at the end. But now Will Graham is finally free again, and he's become like the foil, the opposite of Hannibal. So he's the good trying to fight against Hannibal's bad, trying to enact the design of good. So it's actually become even much of a better show, and I think it's going to get even better from here on because of the way the themes are going to go and the plot's going to go.
Haven't watched a single episode. Couldn't tell you who's in it.
But quality-wise, the reason it's so good is how intelligent it is. Everything in it has a purpose, and the characters have intelligent conversations. Like, the one scene last night between Dr. Alana Bloom and Will Graham, there was a point where she said something, and then it clicked on him, and you see it click on his face, and he says, "Are you worried about protecting Hannibal from me or for you?" And then she doesn't respond, and he just walks away because he's done with her, and he realizes he has to be done with her. But the fact that there's a line of dialogue on television where somebody is able to parse the difference between from me or for you, like, that's just insane, and it's insanely awesome.
Okay.
So should you watch Hannibal? Yes, if you enjoy witty, television with amazing directing. Witty, intelligent television with amazing directing.
I hate all those things.
Also, they have an Asian Jew.
Well, spoiler, had.
That didn't need to be a spoiler. You made it one.
She was eaten.
She was, in fact, actually.
Really? God, this show is so predictable. Of course they're going to eat the Asian Jew. He'll be hungry in 15 minutes. Number 30, The Red Road on Sundance. What?
That was my response, too. I feel like you put it on here just because it's from Sundance. What is it even about?
It doesn't even say.
That's because things on Sundance aren't about anything.
It's a story that simultaneously follows a troubled small-town cop and a dangerous member of a federally unrecognized Indian tribe.
Oh, Khal Drogo from Game of Thrones is in this. So watch it for that.
Yeah, watch it for whoever that is.
But he probably doesn't fuck Khaleesi from behind in this, so, you know.
Probably.
He doesn't have his epic beard.
Yeah. He does have a little bit of a beard. It's more like a hipster beard. Black. It's more like he lives in Austin. That's what it looks like. Number 29, Vikings on the History Channel.
So the History Channel is just admitting everything's fictional now?
Yeah, haven't seen it. Not gonna watch
it. Is the twist at the end of season 2 that they're aliens?
Number 26, House of Cards on Netflix. Finally, something I've seen.
And this is something I would not recommend watching unless you really like darkness.
Oh, it's not all that dark. It's about political intrigue. There are dark moments, but Hannibal?
There's at least a good guy in Hannibal. People are at least trying to be good. House of Cards is just like Kevin Spacey doing evil, fucked up shit.
That's not all evil, fucked up shit.
I describe House of Cards as Dexter meets Mad Men.
Yeah, awesome. Anyway, that's the only one I've seen so far, and it's the only one that I'd recommend so far. Especially if you like political intrigue.
That's not true. You've seen the next one.
Number 25, The Walking Dead on AMC. No, I'd recommend this one too. This one's probably the best one on the list that I can think of.
I would put it probably second best on the list behind Hannibal.
Really?
Yeah, I think Hannibal is a much more intelligent, better written show than The Walking Dead. I think The Walking Dead is close to it, but I think what Hannibal has better than The Walking Dead is it has better plotting, where everything is plotted out from the beginning and it knows where it's going and it's able to stick to it. You know, part of what we talked about last week was, you know, that writer who said the How I Met Your Mother finale showed that you shouldn't have pre-written endings that you're building towards. Well, I think Brian Fuller disproves that because I think Brian Fuller and Stephen Moffat shows that you can do it if you're intelligent enough and you stick to it, you know how to execute it. Brian Fuller, in all of his shows, has always had endings. I mean, if you look at Wonder Falls, he wrote the 13 episodes as an enclosed arc, but then he had where they were going to go after that. And Hannibal, he's given interviews about where it's going to go in all 7 seasons or whatever if he gets that long of a series. So he sticks to that. Same thing in Pushing Daisies. Each season was a certain season, which had an enclosed story. So I think he disproves that, which is what I think before this past season, although season 2 had it as well for The Walking Dead, besides season 4 and season 2 of The Walking Dead, I think that's what the show's been missing. Season 1 didn't really have that, and season 3 wandered a lot, especially in the back half, because they didn't want to do what they did in the mid-season finale of season 4, right? The culmination of season 3 should have been the fight with the governor and the tank and everything. But they put that off because they were just trying to elongate the series.
Hmm. Only one I've seen. Only one I can recommend. Oh, no. House of Cards, too.
You just like saying that. Like, today you just like being the guy who hasn't seen shit.
I haven't seen any of most of these things. They're terrible. Number 22. Here's a show I can wholeheartedly recommend. Sherlock.
So you've seen this one,
PBS.
Too?
Yes.
You need to stop with the only thing, then.
Oh, shut up. No, that's probably true. Sherlock. I've seen it. It's awesome. It's hands down the best one so far that we've talked about.
Really? You think it's... I mean, you're not going to get an argument from me about a Moffat thing, but I put Moffat and Fuller in the same pantheon of TV writers, so...
No, I just think it's tremendously written, it's tremendously acted.
Yeah, so. I mean, the thing I've loved about Sherlock is the way they did it visually. From the first episode of Sherlock, they've shown him deducing things visually rather than just have him talk about it. You know, they actually use the medium and updated technology. I think they're one of the first people who I saw actually integrating, like, cell phones and wireless technology well visually. And mind palaces.
Mind palaces. That was a good season. Anyway.
Mind palaces.
Don't trip down the stairs of your mind palace.
I want a casino in Vegas named Mind Palace.
Where
they fuck over the people that come in there and take all their money.
Oh, I thought you would just all stand in a parking lot and think really hard about the room you're in. Number 21, Looking on HBO. Never heard of it.
I love his update. Looking is lower key than virtually anything else on HBO. Really, a show called Looking is low key?
Yeah, I love the graphic here, too. It's just literally two guys looking out into the ocean. Exciting! I can feel the adrenaline.
It's been described by many critics as the gay girls. So they're lesbians?
Right, wasn't that the L word? Number 19, True Detective on HBO.
I was so excited about the show. McConaughey, Harrelson on TV. McConaughey is an Oscar-winning actor for Best Lead. And then they had that quote come out that was just like, I sent you that one, right? It was like basically saying human life was evil or whatever.
Right.
And I mean, I don't even care if that character was ultimately supposed to be evil. He was one of the two leads. And it's just, I can't watch a show that has that in there. Like, there are other things on.
Yeah. No, thanks.
And it was
huge. Can't stand Matthew McConaughey's wet mullet looking hair.
All right.
Number 17, Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Fox.
I am going to stand in support of this. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, this is what I'm going to call it as. The updated news radio. And what I mean by updated is it's news radio for the new generation, where you have the straight man, which is ironic because the character is gay, but the straight man as the head of the precinct, and then everyone else is wacky around him and fills similar roles to the characters on news radio. And you know this is high praise for me because news radio is my favorite sitcom ever. Like, every episode just cracks me up so much. And this episode too, especially in the back half of the season, or the series too, in the back half of the season, it really just started, the writings just started to get a lot better.
Hmm.
I would highly recommend this show. I thought it wasn't going to be very good, and it was one of those I just put on in the background in Hulu, and then it got better and better, and I actually was excited to watch it as the episodes came. And it had a very good season-ending cliffhanger as well.
Number 15, The Strain on FX.
I would want to watch this because I'm a huge fan of Guillermo del Toro.
And I would want to watch this because it's done by Carlton Cuse.
And I would want to watch this because... No, wait, I don't want to watch this.
Why aren't we watching this?
Because it hasn't come out yet. So this is one to look forward to. It's about people who are, it's based on a novel, and it's about people who are hunting a vampire epidemic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and if, you know, Guillermo del Toro with his directing, and then Carlton Cuse with how good he is at plotting and with character development, I think this show has a lot of potential.
Number 12, Orange is the New Black on Netflix.
My favorite part about this write-up is, he says, like, something epic happened in the season finale or something. What does it say? The eventful finale. What was the event? Like, somebody took a shit or something?
And cried about it?
Yeah, and cried about it. Like, I tried to watch the first episode of this show. It is naturalism to the nth degree. She was literally, they showed her crying while she was on the toilet, and then they showed her wiping.
Just what everyone wants to see on television.
Apparently people do. People love this show.
No, thank you. Number 9, 24, Live Another Day on Fox.
Finally, another good one. Have you seen the previews for the new 24?
No.
Have you seen 24?
No. I tried to watch 24 with you at your house, and the problem was it was on DVD, and so it constantly just left me feeling anxious.
That is true if you watch it on DVD.
Because there was no commercial break, and so I would just end an episode and just be like,
so much adrenaline.
And the problem with 24, if you watch it on DVD, is there's a certain point where it drags, because when you don't have the week between it, like, everything just seems like, okay, you know, they're just stretching it out a little bit. And that's more in the middle season. Some of the seasons are better about that. But this season's only going to be 12 episodes, so it probably has a chance of being pretty good. But the exciting thing about it is, 24 came out at a time when you know, we were fighting terrorism, right? And there was all this nationalism. And everyone loved Jack Bauer because of it. And he was, you know, how we said we had to fight terrorism. Well, now, when we're all very cynical about terrorism, Jack Bauer has become a fugitive and America hates him and has branded him a terrorist. Just like people have done with our tactics. They say they're akin to terrorism, so we're doing the same thing. Likewise, it's called Live Another Day and takes place on British soil, and I've always argued that Bauer is the American James Bond, so Die Another Day. And the other major hero from 24, Chloe O'Brien, who's the tech woman, now works for a WikiLeaks-type organization trying to get the truth out about Jack Bauer.
Number 6, Orphan Black on the BBC.
I've wanted to see it. I just, it's not high on my list.
It's about clones or something, right?
Right. They said the girl plays 7 characters in 1 season.
Oh, God, can't wait. Number 5, Fargo on FX.
Let's make shows about movies.
Is this a new trend? I just can't.
Can I see Dude, Where's My Car, the series?
Oh.
No.
Every Dude. Episode they don't know where their car is.
Dude, where's my plot? Yeah. Okay, here's a serious actual contender in the top 4. Number 4, Mad Men on AMC.
There's one contender in the top 10. But Mad Men is coming up on the end of it, right? They're splitting it into 2 like they did with Breaking Bad. And the thing about Mad Men is we want to see where it concludes. What happens to Don Draper? Because in many ways, Don Draper represents the American identity. So what ultimate statement are they going to make on America? So, you know, we want to talk about stories that are well plotted and they're like literature on television. I would put Mad Men up there and Matthew Weiner up there with... I hate his last name because what's more offensive to say, Matthew Weiner or Matthew Weiner?
Weiner, definitely.
It's more
I think
offensive?
If someone's... Oh, no, sorry. It's less offensive. If my last name was Weiner, the first thing you would do is go out and explain to people, it's always been Weiner. It has never not been Weiner. I don't know where you got Weiner from. You people are just the scum of the earth.
And also, I'm not related to Anthony Weiner.
Exactly. Number 3.
I'd put him up there with Brian Fuller and Stephen Moffat is what I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. Forgot that you were actually going to finish a sentence.
Correct.
How does it feel?
Finishing a sentence?
Mm-hmm. Not being allowed to finish a sentence.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Number 3, Silicon Valley, HBO, Mike Judge. I watched the first episode, did you?
Yeah, I loved it.
You loved it?
I was laughing hysterically the whole time.
Interesting.
I was a witness.
To be fair, pretty much anything TJ Miller says cracks me up.
That's true. He's a very funny human being. I thought it was okay, but I thought it was way overwritten. I thought they were trying too hard to pull off some of these jokes.
Well, they do have a lot of comedians just jam-packed into every minute, so...
Yeah, I mean, they have so many comedians. Martin Starr was, like, basically not in the episode.
Yeah.
So, I think maybe I like it more for the potential.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'm interested in watching it. I heard an interview with TJ Miller where he said basically the entire first season culminates in a big penis joke.
Spoilers!
Oh, please.
TJ Miller...
Anyway, number 2, I will not...
Is the joke big, or is it a joke about a big penis?
This is the highbrow humor we have here at the midside.
Is an Asian making this joke?
Yeah, how are there no Asians in the Silicon Valley show?
Well, there's one guy from India. It's technically Asia.
Kumail Nanjiani, very funny guy.
Number 1, the show you should be watching is...
Hannibal.
Game of Thrones on HBO.
No, it's Wiener. Wiener, 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 Wiener.
What?
South Park.
Oh. Must have missed that or blocked it from my memory. Game of Thrones is another show that I tried to watch and fell asleep multiple times and decided it just wasn't worth it.
I will say this, it's gotten a lot better as it's gone on. I thought season 1 didn't really balance the episodic storytelling with the season-long storytelling. I had originally stopped watching season 1. But then when I went back to it, I was like, oh, okay, there's the payoff. And season two balanced it a lot better. But then season three is where they really found that balance. So I have hope it's going to continue. And as it's gone on, I've felt less overwhelmed. And maybe it's just because I've immersed myself more, but less overwhelmed. It used to be when they did the previously on Game of Thrones. I was like, did I watch that? Do I have to go back and watch like a bunch more episodes? Because I never remembered what was on the previously on.
So what didn't make the list that you think should have been on there? Because first of all, I don't think there are any TV shows left. You might as well just said you should watch all TV next year.
Well, that's the ultimate problem with this list, right? Is it doesn't recognize that people have lives and they have to be very discerning with what they watch.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few shows that aren't listed that I think deserve to be on here. And okay. They're not. I'm not saying you should watch these. I'm saying these are shows you should consider. Whenever you're deciding how to watch something, think, well, what are my values? What do I enjoy? Oh, somebody says this show is well written. Then maybe I'll give it a chance if I have time. If not, okay, it's not a big deal. But to be a good TV fan, you don't have to watch everything. That was something I felt a lot of pressure on in the beginning. Like, when I really got into TV, I was like, oh, I have to sit down and watch all these shows. I mean, I still feel kind of guilty I haven't seen The Sopranos, The Wire, or The Shield. Because those are, like, big ones that people consider historic. But I just don't have time. I would have to not do other things or not watch shows that are currently out in order to watch those. So it's about managing your own time. So these are shows that I think are worth a try if you get a chance or if they interest you. The first one is a sitcom. Have you heard of The Neighbors, Dan?
I've heard of it. I've never watched an episode. I don't know what it's about.
So The Neighbors is a sitcom about a family who moves to a suburban neighborhood, like an apartment complex, not an apartment complex, a townhouse complex in New Jersey. And it turns out all their neighbors in it are aliens. Now, the thing about it is...
Hold on, like, from Mexico?
Yes, from Mexico. No, from Zavron. Zavron.
Zavron, Mexico?
Yeah. No, they're from another planet. And the thing I like about it is two things. One, there's a lot of pop culture humor. And two, it's very meta. So they constantly make references. They're like, oh, no, that was the adventure we had last week. Or, like, they just had the season finale and there was a joke in there. And it was like, we don't know what's going to happen next. And then the wife said, will we be on Wednesdays? And he goes, maybe. Because it airs on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
So spoiler.
There's walkers in the barn and Lori's pregnant.
The other funny thing was, something I discovered halfway through the season was that Scott Wiener.
Okay, 14-year-old, move on.
No, I'm laughing because it's spelled differently than Scott Wiener because there's a G in there. But it's just funny that we referenced them so close together.
Don't let them touch.
Mm-hmm. No space docking.
Let's do a show starring Scott Wiener, written by Matthew Weiner. No, the guy who voiced Aladdin and played Steve on Full House is a writer/producer. And then in the season finale, they showed a couple moving in. And I was like, that guy looks really familiar. And then I saw who he was with, and it was Candace Cameron who played DJ. So they brought DJ and Steve onto The Neighbors. I don't know if it's going to continue and they're going to be main characters, but it was a really funny gag.
All right.
All right. Also,
so The Neighbors.
Other shows, Bates Motel, Carlton Cuse, it's on A&E. It's very great with character development, and it's an interesting discussion of what is evil, what does it mean to be culpable for something. So watch that if you like. It's a little slower, but if you like more character-driven stuff, if you like the character-driven stuff in Lost and the better plotting. So it's basically like Lost without Damon Lindelof's retarded influence. Da Vinci's Demons. This is a controversial pick probably because people hate the writer who also wrote Man of Steel, Goyer. But I think Goyer's a great writer. If you love Celebration of the Mind and science and the intellect and a hero in the romantic sense, watch Da Vinci's Demons because it's really about Da Vinci trying to find the truth among the crazy religious and mystical nonsense of the time he was alive.
Not bad.
And then Franklin and Bash. If you ever wanted to see Zach from Saved by the Bell and the main character from Road Trip be lawyers together, this is the show to watch.
My God, it's like my wet dream, Justin.
It's mine.
Oh, gosh.
No, it's just a very fun show. So if you want a fun show, watch that. And then finally, another show on the TNT network is Falling Skies. This is a great sci-fi summer series. It's not like amazingly written, but it's written pretty well. It doesn't have a huge amount of depth to it, but it's more on the romantic end of things, where all the characters stand for things. So it has that going, you know, that part of Lost for it. It's, you know, it's a post-Lost show where it's very influenced. There are actually similarities. This is kind of like The Walking Dead in the alien apocalypse instead of the zombie apocalypse.
All right.
Now that we've dispensed some television advice, let's turn to more pressing matters with Yahoo Answers Answers. Just another answer, I won't begin. Just another question. Just another answer, I won't begin. First question. Would a law like the Civil Rights Act of 1964 have any chance of passing in today's Congress? Do you have an initial reaction to that, Dan? Yul? I'm just going to call you Dan Yul from now on.
You're gonna get good at it. Don't worry. You're going to get better. You just need to practice it. I want you to practice saying my name. Not now, but in your free time. Would a law like that, I mean, I think it would have a better chance in a certain context today where we're, I mean, the premise of the question, I think, is that we're more racist today than we were in 1964, which I think is bizarre to even think about.
Right. That's a scary thing. My initial reaction is, yes, of course, we're less racist today. And with the way, you know, look at what was done with the firestorm around gay marriage that got that pushed through. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the same thing would happen with civil rights. But this is the disturbing thing about the question. Subtle racism, which they capitalize, by the way, apparently you always capitalize the S and the R in subtle racism, appears to be a lot more powerful than blatant racism. Racism, capitalism again, capitalized again. Because it can just infinitely be denied, and those that expose it can easily be discredited as race baiters.
I mean, part of my problem with this question is that we have lost any sense of what it is, what it means to be racist in this country. So for instance, if you make an observation about race, any generalization whatsoever, even in a non-threatening way, or not even in a mean-spirited way, that could be called a racial or racist statement, which to me is terrible. It means we basically can't make observations about human beings unless we completely take out the measurement of race, which is an enormous factor in many people's lives.
Right. It's an enormous factor in everybody's life, whether they want to admit it or not. I mean, every race has a culture associated with it, right? And that's not saying that necessarily because you're going to be that race, you're going to be that culture. It's just saying that the way the world has developed so far, race has highly affected your culture that you're in.
Right. So I think we have a big problem in this country where we can't distinguish between what is racist and what is simply just talking about race.
Well, and the other issue I see here, I agree with that completely. The other issue, though, is that, you know, this comment carries with it the whole hater thing in it. That you don't have to listen to anyone, you can just call them a hater. Now, there are legitimate haters, just like there are legitimate racists out there. But if anytime someone has a critique against you, you just call them a hater, well, then you don't actually assess what they're saying. In the same sense, it seems like this person is saying, well, I can just declare anything I want racist, and anyone who says it's not is just, like, discrediting you. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So yeah. Part of what you're saying is, you know, because we have no meaning of what racism anymore, you can't have an actual discussion about it.
Right.
Because the people who think they, you know, they think, oh, well, I've suffered racism, therefore anything I say about racism is valid and you have to listen to me. And then there are the reactionaries to that who say, well, you're just going to call everything racist, so there's nothing I can do. So basically, there's not a conversation that's ongoing.
Yeah, exactly. All unfortunate.
Next question. UK Crimea, just how serious will it become? Do you like how I read that, by the way?
Yes. I mean, I felt, you know, moved a little bit. I mean, I think that's because I haven't eaten anything, but I mean, it might have been due to you. I'm not sure.
So,
but it could have been.
But this is what they write. The question revolves around how the current Ukraine-Crimea crisis threatens the peace and security of the rest of the world. I have a relative there in the Ukraine, and they just don't know what will happen from day to day. Does anyone know what will happen from day to day? I mean, no. Do you think Ukraine regrets scrapping their nuclear weapons? Do you imagine those who have them and developing them now know the certainty of their national borders by holding onto their nukes? Can you envision the use of nuclear weapons?
Okay, lots of layers of questions here. Mm-hmm. I think the Ukraine Crimea crisis is serious, and it's particularly serious because the United States, which has typically been the country that stops other countries from doing stupid shit, right now we're seen as the country who has no power to stop other countries from doing stupid shit. And so Russia isn't afraid of us. Putin's not afraid of Obama or what he would do. Our foreign policy is abysmal.
I ain't afraid of no America.
Exactly. Our foreign policy is like, oh, please stop. Please don't do that. Could you not, please? No, I don't know. Okay.
That's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I'm saying about 24 Live Another Day. That's why Jack Bauer is being considered a terrorist in it, because Jack Bauer's policy is if someone's wrong, I'm going to stop him. And if I need to kill him, I'll kill him to stop him because it's wrong. Because he takes those hardline moral stances.
Mm-hmm.
And we've moved away from that.
It's particularly serious because Russia is an enormous supplier of natural gas to all of Europe, but particularly Eastern Europe. And if something happens to destabilize Russia's selling of that natural gas to Eastern Europe, they, I don't think, will hesitate to invade to make sure that their natural gas keeps flowing. Because if they're not able to sell their natural gas, their entire economy would collapse. It's such an enormous part of it.
Right, and this is the parallel some people are drawing, right? They're drawing the parallel to World War II, where with the same thing, nobody stopped Hitler from invading like Austria in the beginning. And then mm-hmm. it sort of went forward from there. So some people are saying, well, it's the same U.S. foreign policy, but we're not getting involved. We're doing more isolationist stuff. I mean, I wouldn't argue it's isolationism, but the similarities are somewhat there. And then people are saying, well, nobody stopped Hitler, so therefore reductio ad Hitler, World War III.
Yeah, I don't think we're at that point yet. But, I mean, it's serious in that if we don't do something, it could escalate very quickly, whether it's World War III or not, I don't know. Considering the question, that's a whole realm of questioning. I mean, I think countries should be allowed to have nuclear weapons. They're, you know, a representative democracy if they have a history of not being insane. Like, I don't know, Iran would not be allowed to have a nuclear weapon, should not be allowed to have a nuclear weapon.
Right. And the other thing is, will people use it? Well, I don't really think people are going to use it. I mean, we saw with the Cold War, people don't really want to use them because if you shoot someone with a nuclear weapon who has one, what's going to happen? You're going to get one back in the face, and you don't really want that. So,
right. Oh, tough times here in the mid-side.
Yeah. Well, things are going to get a little tougher in the mid-side. Ready for the next question?
Yeah.
Next question, because I have to say that. I'm contractually obligated with myself to say that. Took her to a party and she left with someone else. Should I be mad?
Sounds like a song from Guys and Dolls right now.
Sounds like every pop punk song ever.
So, any other context on this guy and what the happened?
Before we do, I just think it's funny. His question is, should I be mad? Like, out of all his reactions, he's going to be mad. How dare you leave with another guy?
Well, he thinks being mad is irrational, so he's wondering if he should be mad.
Well, I think he's saying he is mad, right?
Or he's confused about his feelings of stupidity.
Right. You're contractually obligated to leave this party if you came with me. Anyway, so let's give more context to sort this out. I am 25, period. Male, period. Maybe you should be mad you can't use complete sentences.
It's like Ernest Hemingway is writing this. Took her to a party. She left with someone else.
Well, that's why she left with someone else. You're Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah, you've been dead for so long.
I recently ran into an old friend I haven't seen in a few years and started reconnecting with her. I invited her to a house party with me to hang out and catch up. I picked her up. I was planning on trying to strike up a chance to tell her that I'd like her? No, I think you mean you already do like her. I'd like her and ask her out on a date. Well, before I could make any type of move, she and another guy at the party started connecting really quickly. I want to know how quickly and what they were doing.
Like, they just started making out like full force.
They just both happened to come dressed in entire suits of Velcro.
the party was actually at one of those sticky walls.
Exactly, it was a Velcro party. Well, super glue party.
I decided to be myself and have a good time, keep her involved, and just hope she and I can have that conversation. Which always works, by the way. I just hope the conversation happens. Well, it didn't happen. Well, yeah, that's because you hoped it. It didn't do it. And then
he used the force. He tried to will it to happen.
See, relying on Star Wars doesn't work. It also makes Justin tongue-tied. He continues, I'm not the competitive type, so I just let it play out, hoping for the best. At one point, I heard the guy ask someone for a condom, and he gave one. What the fuck? I decided to vent to a friend who was there about how upset I was because of her, and I wanted to leave. My friend decides that I should tell the guy that I actually like her. And that he's got two kids, and he isn't going to take her home like that. I did. I was heading out with someone else after the party and asked if she was ready to go. She tells me she's going home with him, so I go along with it. She leaves, and I decide to follow up and see if she had made it home later that night. She had it 2 days later. Oh, no, no. I think...
Wow.
No, no, no.
I think this is a stud.
I think this is the title card. So now we're 2 days later in the story. She texted and asked if I was upset with her. What do I say? Do I have a right to be upset? Do I keep being a friend and not say anything? Or do I forget about it and attempt to take her out? Or do I tell her exactly how I felt?
Slut.
Okay. First of all, you're 25. Why do you write like a 14-year-old?
I know!
He's mad! He regressed into 14-year-old him because of the
what
anger.
What parties are you going to where you're like, and then this dude was like, hey, can I have a condom? And then he was like, yeah.
Because
and then
the
he gave him
two
one.
Didn't work and that's how I got two kids.
I don't understand this. I never attended parties like this. Like, was I not living in like the same America as everyone else?
You were in the South.
Right. No, well, when, yeah. You were at Ithaca, which is not the same America as everywhere else. And then you were living in the South, which is not America, it's America.
Fuck yeah.
So where is this America? Where do these things happen?
I think it's just California. Really. I think it's really just California. Especially this story in particular. So, people. No wonder we have to help them. it's not clear ever in this story if he literally just said, hey, I will take you to the party, or if he said, do you want to go out with me and let's go on a date to this party?
Well, no, I don't think the party was the date. I think the party was the, hey, I'm going to this party, do you want to go? And she went, and then he was going to ask her on the date while at the party.
Right.
That was his design.
I didn't get that.
I saw.
You mean he was going to eat her?
Yes.
Part of her.
Oh, God. This is the most deviant podcast we've ever done. Anyway. which is saying something. Because we did that whole thing about Michael Sam. Anyway.
Are you saying gay is sexually deviant?
No, I'm saying we made a lot of buttocks sex jokes in that episode. Anyway, moving forward, not backward.
Buttocks.
Is that... Okay, this guy should just get the fuck over it. That's really all I got. That's all I got.
I mean, there's two things here, right? If you want to take her on a date, just say, I want to take you on a date. Preferably not monotone like I just did.
Like a robot.
Danger, woman. Will Robinson.
Danger, Will Robinson. I want to take you on a date.
I have feelings.
And the second thing is, do you really want to go on a date with a girl who goes to a party and leaves with some guy who has two kids, who she just met?
And stays there for 2 days? Was she kidnapped? Is this Elizabeth Smart? What are we talking about?
I think the 2 days later was a title card when he heard from her again. And I think
she was walking funny when she left.
You think she was as funny as Christopher Walken?
Yes, basically.
No, I think that she just didn't hear from him in 2 days. That's why she thought he was mad.
You mad, bro?
I think this is what I think, and maybe I'm extrapolating outward here a lot, but I think he could have left with her. But I think she saw he wasn't doing anything, and she said, well, fuck this, I want to get laid, so she went with the easiest guy she could get with.
Yeah.
So maybe. I think he lost his opportunity is what I think happened.
Well, literally, like, not fuck this. I want to get laid. I'll fuck that.
Yes.
Does everyone agree that he lost his opportunity?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. In other news, Colin Kaepernick's being charged with sexual assault, so...
What does that have to do with?
I'm just saying these stories are awfully coincidental.
Michael Sam.
Exactly.
Oh, you're saying that? I guess that he is 25, right? Does he have two kids already?
He's in the NFL.
That's the NBA.
I think they hand them to you.
That's.
I mean, Philip Rivers has enough to give around, right? He has like 9 children. Or something.
Oh, that's a really old joke. That's like that's an ACC joke from like 2005.
Yeah, I'm timely.
All right. Next question. Lost season 4. This is how you know the question is going to be good. Lost season 4. Is the island stuck in a time lapse of some sort? Yes. Maybe. So the question, as with all people who ask questions about Lost, has about 3 paragraphs. Hi, I've reached the episode The Constant, and like all the other millions who watched it, I'm lost. No one's ever made that joke before. I've been researching explanations on the episode regarding Desmond's time traveling. There are no useful explanations, trust me.
I'm already lost.
His consciousness jumping from the past to the present, etc. But what I don't get is the whole timing on the island. To Jack and the crowd on the island, it seemed like the helicopter was gone for over a day. But for the men on the helicopter, they were only flying for about an hour or so. And Saeed says, we left the island at dusk and we land here in the middle of the day. Similarly, when the rocket was launched from the freighter, it took an extra 40 minutes to reach them after it was supposed to reach. So am I missing something? Is there some time warp thing going on? No major spoilers, please. But the only answer to this question is a major spoiler.
Right. It all ends in a church. Stop watching.
It doesn't matter. The answer to this question doesn't matter. Is there some sort of time lapse thing going on? Yes. Basically, the island's being hidden from the rest of the world. That's all you need to know. Because ultimately, it just ends in a church.
Yeah. It's so funny, because I remember being in season 4 and being this enthusiastic and having these questions and trying to figure it out, and just thinking that there must be some master design behind this show. It's so smart. And then season 6.
Right, focus on the Desmond and Penny stuff. That's what they want you to focus on, because Damon Lindelof is a fucktard.
I thought you were supposed to always say, Penny!
Penny! I love you, right? Penny!
Right, that's probably the best impression you do.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I heard it for, 6 seasons? The other one is, Walt!
Right.
Why has the internet ever made a Penny versus Walt face-off?
Penny! Walt! Boat! I don't know. Tell him not to watch this show.
No, watch until season 5. The season 5 finale is the true finale.
I don't even think it's worth it anymore. Really, in retrospect, I've just become so nihilistic about Lost.
It's really Damon Lindelof's fault, but anyway. So, time travel and Lost turned out to be no big deal. You know what else isn't a big deal? Being called Harry Potter. I'll explain what I'm talking about in the non-crisis of the week. This story is actually not the non-crisis of this week, but a week back in February, because that's when the article is dated. However, I just found this article, and we just have to talk about it. So the title of this article, the headline is, Teenager Stabs Girl in the Face and Beats Another Black and Blue Because They Called Him Harry Potter. So, Dan, do you want to read this article for us?
Absolutely. Basically, a teenager stabbed a girl in the face and smashed another girl's head against a fence because they called him Harry Potter, has been sent to jail for more than 4 years. Ryan Walker wears glasses and has short black hair like the boy wizard created by J.K. Rowling and played by actor Daniel Radcliffe. But the 19-year-old snapped after the girls called him Harry Potter, stabbing one in the face so hard that the blade of his vegetable knife broke. Walker then smashed the other girl's head against a fence and shouted, "Die, die, muggle scum." No, he didn't. He claimed he launched the ferocious attack in Southampton after being goaded repeatedly by the girls. They were 15 and 16, respectively.
And what about the part where he lures them to the park? Do you see that in there?
No.
All right. So maybe this was another article. But what happens is, so this is what happened in this story. This is just a completely ridiculous story. He comes home and they're like sitting on the stoop next door. And they like say something to him. And then like one of them tries to like grab his bag of the stuff he bought for his mom. I just realized, I think he might be Norman Bates. He was coming home shopping for his mother, and then he attacks these people. So they try to grab his bags. He goes inside. Then he comes back outside with the vegetable knife, and knowing they're going to follow him, he lures them to the park where he attacks them. So this isn't like he was in a fit of rage. He like threw the bag down and like hulked out and like beat the shit out of them, right? This was like he went back inside. He didn't have to come back outside. So there was a level of premeditation to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is just all exposition. This is not the messed up part of this story, right?
Exactly. The messed up part of this story is, like most internet stories, the comment section.
But this is literally the worst comment section I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've been in a lot of comment sections.
You're quite the veteran.
Something to admit proudly.
I wasn't admitting it proudly. I was just simply stating it.
Yeah, you were a little proud. Yeah, a little bit. Anyway, so the comments in this.
How many years has David Letterman been hosting?
About time. Give or take, man. So yeah, the comments on this story are horrific. And not in the way you would expect. Here's the first comment.
Right, I would expect these comments to be like, castrate him. Feed him his own balls.
Because
exactly. He beat up a 15 and 16 year old girl with a vegetable knife. He lured them to the park.
Yes. So, no, first comment. Bullies get let off. Law should change. Hope they don't sleep at night. The poor chap who got bullied and stood up to them gets 4 years. Yes, you heard that all correctly.
This is worse than Yahoo Answers grammar, right?
Yes.
By the way, this comment section makes me convinced that all the questions on Yahoo Answers are British.
Yes. Natalie Devlin says, you can only push people so far. They were bullies, and what he did was over the top, but I bet the girls won't bully again. The nicest person can only take so much. Bullying is wrong, says Andy White.
I don't understand. The nicest person is going to snap, lure people to the park, and stab them with a vegetable knife?
If their name's Norman Bates.
Barry Salliman says, kids need to be learnt and taught at a V young age not to bully and pick on people.
And all of these comments supporting Harry Potter, Ryan Walker, they all have like 200 upvotes, right?
Right, and anyone who is critical of him at all is downvoted immediately.
Yeah, they have like 200 downvotes. Like, I just don't understand this. Look, I'm not defending bullying, but there are levels of bullying. And calling you Harry Potter and trying to grab your bag, especially if they're 15 and 16-year-old girls and you're a 19-year-old boy, like, that's not that bad of bullying, even if that's been going on for days or years.
Yeah, it's...
That does not excuse beating the shit out of a 15 and 16-year-old girl. I mean, she's going to be permanently disfigured. She got stabbed through the cheek.
Yeah, but at least she's not going to bully anymore.
I mean, here's another thing. When I hear that a 15 and 16-year-old girl are calling the 19-year-old boy that lives next door Harry Potter in England, I kind of think they have a crush on him, and they don't know how to say it well.
Yeah, exactly. Samantha Kenny says, we might teach bullies not to be so nasty. Karma is a bitch. Karma is a bitch! You call someone Harry Potter, you deserve to be stabbed in the face.
Oh my God. I mean... This is what happens when we do this bullying thing.
Yeah, it's been taken over the top. I understand that bullying can be very bad and has some negative consequences when it's taken to the extreme. But they just called him a beloved children's character.
Yeah, I know. I wish when I was a kid, someone called me, like, Speed Racer.
What? I think that's the worst thing to be called in bed.
Yes. I think people would more call you Abu.
I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm completely okay with that. My avatar online used to be Abu, so there you go.
What?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Think about that for a moment, people.
But yeah, the bullying thing, the non-crisis of the week is basically the bullying thing. It's just been blown out of proportion. You have to look at in context of how the people are treating each other. Sometimes all you need to do is just say, hey, can you just leave me alone? Like, I don't have a problem with you, and they'll leave you alone. Other times, you just have to learn to avoid them. There are truly some sick and sadistic people out there, right? You know, in Ender's Game, there is Achilles, who actually is a messed up person who wants to hurt people. That's someone you have to avoid. In other things, they're just people you have to talk to sometimes that they don't realize what they're doing is bad, or they're doing it to seem cool. So there's just a whole spectrum here that's being ignored because it's under the term bullying. And it's gotten to the point that all of these people are defending someone who's clearly a messed up person and clearly did something messed up because it's just under the spectrum of bullying. All right, well, that about sums up our journey, finishes up our journey into the midside this week. What did you learn, Daniel?
Well, I learned that swans can be racist dicks, especially to Indian students in England, and that's not very nice.
What did you learn, Doctor?
I learned lists of things you should do are actually just lists other people think other people should do.
And that they're usually long, and they're usually just the person making the list is posing. Because that's what I felt that TV list was.
I think he just didn't even make the list himself. He took other people's lists and said, oh, okay, I'm gonna put some of this in here and a little bit of that.
I think he just opened TV Guide and just wrote down every show that was in it.
Was he the Swedish chef of lists? Max Hales and The Looking and...
Oh, I learned one other thing, by the way, I wanted to mention. I learned that it's actually really...
It's not your turn! It's the doctor.
I'm interrupting the doctor. I learned that it's actually really hard to work Drew's name into every episode.
Oh, I see what you did there. Easter egg!
Yes!
What did you learn?
I learned that if somebody calls me a beloved child's character name, they could beat me up. So I'm totally going to be using this as carte blanche from now on. Hey, Abu! And then they just get blasted in the face. I also learned that promotion is good. So if you guys like what you hear here, tell a friend. Tell a friend about TalkBacker so people will go to the site and listen to our podcast and listen to the other good podcasts on the site. I'd also like to thank the people at TalkBacker for their support, the people on the Shut Up Kids podcast for their support. And hopefully we'll keep getting better and better so that we stop wasting your time. You're wasting all my time. You're wasting all my time. You're wasting all my time.